everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, on this midweek edition of the show. It is April 3rd, 2024. We're off and running, and we're looking for a sliver of joy every day, at least in my life, and seeing some of the spring flowers blooming outside, Tom, and what a joy it has been to have the best winter I can recall in 36 years in town, weather-wise.
We've had a pretty wet one. What is it, like about the fourth wettest or something like that?
Well, it kind of goes like 4 or 5 days in between these storms. 4 or 5 days of lovely weather, puffy white clouds. I'll take it any time, and I'm sure the mayor of Marana would as well. Ed Honey, who is the longest-serving elected official in Southern Arizona. Mayor Honey is on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Mayor Honey is the third generation of a five-generation Marana family. He served on the and has served on the council there in Marana on three different occasions, which totaling up almost 40 years. We also thank him for his service. He is a former United States Navy CB who served in the Vietnam War, and he is with us now. Mayor, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Bill. I spent a lot of time in my yard pulling weeds because of all the rain.
Yeah, that goes along with it, too. I want to get right into this. We've got a lot of ground to cover with you, and I want to talk because you are the immediate past chair of the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA's 9-member board, governing board, and you're all trying to put together a program for the next 20-year program road plan known as RTA Next. The current plan expires now in about two years. And what's your take? Is this going to happen, Mayor Honey?
You know, if I had a crystal ball, I could give you a solid answer. You know, we're all working very diligently to make it work. I'm not going to, paint any rosy pictures. It's pretty rough right now. I mean, we're trying to, anytime you have 9 entities, cities and towns, the tribe of the nation, the state, the county, and everybody else at the board, everybody trying to get their share and get the best thing for them. I can say I think we're as close as we have been. We've been trying to put this plan together for 2 years. And most of our meetings last about 5 hours.
Wow.
And it's not that we're not putting the effort in it.
Well, what's the sticking point, Mayor? Let's cut to the chase. What's the sticking point here?
Well, I think most of us agree on what I don't want to throw the city under the bus, but it's the city. The city wants more than we think they should get. And, my main argument for the RTA, and I've been involved since the first one, is it's a regional plan, and it should benefit us all regionally. And I'll give you an example. The Cortero Interchange, which we'd like to put in the next plan, would certainly benefit Marana, but also Pima County and the city to move traffic through there. I call that a regional project. I think the majority of the city's projects are inner city projects, and they want to spend a tremendous amount of money on transit. And except for the city, most of us are not big fans of transit. And I'll give you reasons why. About 3% of the people in Pima County ride transit, and it's about 5% if you just take the city. And we have a hard time justifying spending $600 million, that's $30 million a year for 20 years, on the transit system.
Wow. So not much give and take there, huh? Is that pretty much people aren't going to budge off that?
No. I think we would give that.
Okay.
But what we have told the city is, if you want all this money for transit, even though we have studies that have shown that very few people write it, you know, we'll give it to you, but you're going to have to give up a couple of your capital road projects. And so far, we haven't had any luck having them give up any of those projects. You know, the city is 260 square miles. Mm-hmm. Marana, the second largest community in Pima County, is 130 square miles. We are so big geographically in the urban area around Tucson. I mean, you're talking 700 or 800 square miles between Oro Valley, Vail, you know, Sarita, all of us. Transit doesn't work as well in our area as it would, say, in Portland or Seattle, to where you have the same amount of people in, you know, 80 square miles.
Yeah.
And we're 800 square miles. Transit doesn't work as well for us. And my philosophy is for Marana, which is about 62,000 people now and 130 square miles, our people would have to drive 20 miles to get to a transit line. You know, so, I mean, you know, it doesn't work real well for us. I want the program to move forward. General Ted Maxwell is the chairman of our RTA board now, and he's been working on it diligently. And I was just on the phone yesterday with Mayor Tom Murphy from Sarita, with my town manager and their town manager staff, trying to figure out ways to make things work. So it's not that we're not making an effort, but we're not making a lot of progress.
What is the state of the town that you are most concerned with? Your town, Marana, what is the state of the town right now?
Well, we're really good. Marana's doing very well. We're the fastest growing community, really, in southern Arizona. Nobody grows as fast as the great state of Maricopa, but we're building about 125 houses a month, and about 50 apartments a month are opening up. So, I mean, a lot of people are moving here. And, you know, our biggest issue is infrastructure, not only just roads, but parks and town buildings, expanding our police department, expanding our parks department, you know, more equipment for our roads department. I often say we're a victim of our own success. We are growing so rapidly and have so many businesses and people moving here. We need more public infrastructure.
What you said, the population is 62,000. Do you have any more room to grow? Are you going to need to annex or what?
No. We have enough capacity and land to grow to about 250.
250,000?
Yes.
Wow.
So, and I mean, we have enough land platted, you know. A lot of our growth is on farmland. And a lot of that has been purchased by investors and then leased back to the farm entity. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you're growing so fast, you're using our water. The reality is that cotton farming uses about 6 acre feet of water a year per acre. Housing uses about 1.5.
Hmm.
So actually, by building houses on farmland, we're using a third or less of the water that farming uses.
Hmm.
So we're actually saving water use by building houses. I said we're building houses, so that makes us environmentalists now.
So how much farmland is left out there? When you were growing up, it was mainly cotton fields.
Yes, it was. I mean, you know, when we incorporated, we were 1,500 people. We annexed in the, Continental Ranch area and eventually Dove Mountain and all the business district up on Ina, Orange Grove, Thornydale. But the majority of the farmland is still left. It's just that it becomes so valuable for housing or businesses that a lot of the farm families are selling the farms. I mean, they can get actually tens of millions of dollars for a farm.
Yeah. All right, getting back to the RTA next, when is your next meeting of the board?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Tomorrow at noon. If you want to have a good time, bring a sandwich and a soda and a pillow. Come downtown to the PAG RTA, which is down at Congress and Stone. And spend 5 hours listening to us discuss and sometimes cuss what we're going to do in the RTA.
Well, I'll tell you, you've got fewer and fewer meetings before the deadline. I mean, every meeting is crucial is what I'm trying to say at this point.
Well, you know what's happening, unfortunately, Bill, is the political world, whether it's national, state, or local.
Yeah.
Is really getting pretty bad.
Yeah.
And people draw lines in the sand. I've been doing this a long time, about 37 years.
Yeah.
We used to be able to negotiate and move to the middle. And a lot of times anymore, you can't do that. I deal with the state legislature weekly on different things. The political parties are drawing lines in the sand and not willing to move. I hope we're able to put the thing together. I want the RTA next to happen. I'm a big fan. You know, we built a couple major interchanges and done some major roadways in that plan. But I'm not willing to give the farm away, pun intended.
All right. Always good checking in with you, Mayor. Thank you very much. And boy, I miss those good old days where people did work across the aisle.
Well, we're still trying, Bill. We may make it work. We hope so.
I hope so, too. Mayor Honey, always a pleasure. Take care of yourself. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
Mayor Ed Honey, mayor of the town of Marana, which continues to grow, but Mayor Honey says there's still plenty of room. Take a break right here after we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle, and home, I guess now you could say, of some really nice imported and domestic beers that they are pouring with lunch. And they've got wine, so you can wine or champagne for your breakfast. It's an added enhancement, makes it even your visit to Mona's even more worthwhile. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back. Dustin Williams is up next, Pima County Superintendent of Schools, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Before we get quickly to Dustin Williams on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, PAC, Pima Animal Care, 142% of capacity for dogs in desperate need. This just came in from the folks at PAC and asking me to read it, and I'll gladly do it because they've got to get some of these animals adopted or they're going to have to start putting down healthy adoptable dogs as an incentive. They're offering $50 incentive to their on-campus central pet store. But anyway, a desperate situation over at PAC. Let's welcome back to the program Dustin Williams, Pima County Superintendent of Schools. Hey, Dustin, how are you?
Bill, how you doing? Glad to be on with you and your listeners. Long time no talk.
Yeah, I don't know why it's been this long. I really feel bad. We should have gotten you on much sooner, but here we are. Give our listeners a quick overview of what you do, and then in the context of, I understand there is more interest now in folks running for school boards this election cycle.
Yeah, so Dustin Williams, your elected county school superintendent, 15 counties in Arizona, and each county gets one elected superintendent. We're like a row office or a government office that oversees day-to-day operations with schools, kind of like a treasurer or an assessor. So we run a lot of money here, and we disperse it. We don't have authority on those schools, but we help disperse that money out. We do a lot of professional development where it's the teaching for the teachers, so we have special education programs, STEM programs, and then we're big in one school that is ours. When you're elected, you inherit a school, and the school located in the juvenile detention center in the jail. So we do a lot of really important stuff with reengaging those students into our communities in a positive way by getting them degrees, put them in job placements, support services, and one of the most fulfilling parts of the job definitely is when we can get a person back on track and get their life going and have them be a positive member of our community.
So how many school boards are there, and how many you think there's more interest in this election cycle? During COVID, it was difficult to get anybody to run. Are we seeing people more interested in being on a school board?
Yeah, when it comes to school boards, part of that admin piece that our office does by statute is we're also an election house. So we do all of the elections for the bonds and overrides of schools, but all of the elections for people that are interested in becoming a school board candidate, which is the ultimate authority of these schools, these district schools like TUSD and AMFI and Sarita and Catalina Foothills. And over the last probably at least 6 years, I'm going into the end of my second term, going to my third term in 2025. We have seen a big uptick in people being interested in wanting to get on school boards. We've got about 18 districts out there. Some of those are transportation districts, so they're just schools that we transport across other counties. But your big hopper schools, there's approximately 11 of them out there, and we'll have about 50 to 60 candidates running here.
Wow.
To be on a school board.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming in every day. If someone's interested, they just go to schools.pima.gov, or if anybody wants to see who's running and which positions are open in the district that they live, or other districts that they're just interested in, they can go to schools.pima.gov, look at elections, and look at the candidates that are running.
Would you want to keep it nonpartisan like it is? There's some a movement at the legislature. I don't know how much traction it would get it to make the elections partisan.
Yeah, the political field just in general has just gotten so ugly between both sides of the parties. I've been a strong advocate to keep politics as much as you possibly can out of a school, focus solely on the students. And the way that we see that working best is to keep it nonpartisan.
What are you worried about up at the legislature? It seems like they want to get involved in different areas of education more and more. Are you worried about anything in particular?
Two things I keep an eye on for kind of the big umbrella view for the state level. One is we've got a big argument on the universal vouchers, which is money going to, you know, public dollars going to private schools and to homeschool families, which is costing us about $1 billion. And that's cutting into the budget of Arizona as a whole. But a big one is still we have this aggregated expenditure limit that got overwritten last year's budget. That's going to be coming around here again. And that's the AEL is what they called it. And people tend to forget once it gets kind of a passed for a short time, but that will be coming back. If that doesn't get passed, that's going to be a 17% hit to district schools, which is approximately another $1 billion, which would really devastate district schools and education if we don't get a remedy to that sometime soon. Seems to be kind of a political angle as far as how that's discussed in the budget. So those are the two main things. The other things are, you know, again, we've got the divide, and it's a shame that we can't come to agreement together as a group and really put the attention on what's in the best interest of the kids instead of sometimes what's in the best interest of our political visions if we're that actual incumbent in the seat. And we really got to be careful with that type of stuff when we're talking about education.
Boy, I had completely forgotten about that reallocation. That was a big deal last spring. I forgot all about it. And has to be reallocated every year by the lawmakers?
It does now, because when we did Proposition 301 and we extended it, which is that 1 cent sales tax, when they extended that, they left out the exemption for the aggregated expenditure limit. It's called the AEL, that we got to start bringing that up again. The conversations need to be there. We need everyone to come up with a remedy to get that fixed. It's going to be a thorn in our side, and we are talking about massive amounts of dollars. And if that didn't get passed, what it would do to education for the kids would be horrendous. It'd be absolutely awful, because you'd have so many cuts to particular jobs, which would be budget cuts for losing teachers when we're already in a massive shortage. But then you're losing your rock stars that help them, all the parapros, bus drivers, counselors, custodial services, the whole team that comes around for making your entire education system world class. It takes a lot of different parts. And so the AEL, put that back on the radar, everyone. We need to get that fixed, or we need to get another at least extension on that coming very quickly here.
Oh, serendipitous of me to try to get you on the show today. That was completely off my radar, the AEL. For some reason, I thought, oh, it was last legislative session. I thought that was, you know, done, but I didn't realize this is one annual deal.
Yep, it really is. And kudos to, you know, partisan politics getting that done. That's an example where everyone came to the table and gave a little bit here and give a little bit there, and they got that done. So they can do it when they want to work together, but we got to get it back on the radar. And I'm really glad that we're having this discussion today about it, Bill.
Are you really happy now still in the job?
Yeah, I really am. I'm kind of just growing into it more and more. There's just so many angles and so much responsibility and so many learning parts to it that different areas have just been, you know, obviously there's always challenges and you're always wanting to grow. And so I look forward to that because I'm really a solution driven and person, and I like to build systems. But the big part for me is getting really involved with some of these Justice Youth kids. We've, you know, starting these programs that we have where we see them get incarcerated. We get them out. We put them in what's called the Pima Cycle Breaker program down here. I had one student came out. He just, 2 years he was in Eloy. And for 2 years we wrote back and forth every month sending letters. So he was in a letter program just to keep his spirits high. He got his high school diploma with us inside jail. He got a certificate for HVAC and the trades in prison. Oh. Mom and dad were here today. There were tears. Everyone was excited. So
that's
those
great.
Are the magic parts here.
That's great. Wonderful. Scouts Honor, I'm going to get you back on more often. Dustin Williams, Superintendent, Pima County Schools. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Everyone take care.
Thanks a lot. Always great to catch up with Dustin Williams. We're going to talk some more education with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, right after the break.
Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us, our contributor on education, Flowing Wells Superintendent School District, former superintendent there, Associate Professor Emeritus and Associate Dean of the UA College of Education. He also is very active with Interfaith Community Services ICS. He's the president, current president of their board of directors. Great to see you, Dr. Hendricks.
Good to be here.
Are you on your way, I heard, to Green Things after the program?
I am. Right after this broadcast, I'm going to stop there and hopefully I can pick up some, one of my favorite plants that grows this time of year, which is a potato vine.
A potato vine?
Doesn't really produce potatoes, but it has its lovely foliage and in different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Real verdant green.
Like a bougainvillea?
And also like a purple.
Like a bougainvillea, maybe? Something like that? Or?
No, it's just kind of a large leafy plant.
Okay. Right.
Doesn't have any flowers. But you can mix the two colors, and it's really, really nice to put in a large pot, and can hang down.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Well, so hopefully they have them.
I'd be very surprised if they didn't, but you mentioned pot, and they've got plenty of pottery over there, including Talavera from Mexico and from really all over the world. Some of the Asian, the Vietnam pots are great.
Yes,
yeah.
Beautiful.
All right, how did you do yesterday at ICS, Interfaith Community Services? It was Arizona Gives Day. Were folks opening up their wallets and being generous again to ICS?
We did well. Our plea was beyond actually dollar donations, which of course we can always gladly accept. But
what were you looking for?
Looking for food.
Oh.
You know, we really, our pantries are more depleted than they ought to be at this point in time. I think it's a function of the economy, and even grocery stores that we regularly pick up food each week, you're not having as much surplus. I mean, they're being more cautious about their supplies and their supply chain, and so they don't necessarily have as much to give us. But we're doing as well as can be expected. Fortunately, we have many volunteers and a lot of donors who are looking to give us food. And for winter visitors, one of the things that has been suggested is when you clean out your pantries before you leave
for Minnesota,
for the summer
or wherever,
donate it.
Good idea. Good idea.
You know, sometimes we have people who check the expiration dates on all food that comes in. So if it's not expired or even if it's close to being expired, bring it in. Now, we can't accept things that have been opened, bags that are open, or canned goods that are not commercially created. But other than that, clean out those pantries, bring us in food. We have five locations. Check our website out at www.ics.org. And, there's some opportunities there for people to give and maybe not necessarily have it hit their wallet as it normally might.
You know, I now subscribe or have that Tucson Agenda, Kurt and Caitlin, two former employees and alums at Arizona Daily Star. They're doing a great job. It comes in my email every morning.
And I read it regularly, too.
Yeah, I get that, and I get a kind of an abbreviated state version of the Arizona Agenda. But the reason I bring it up is because Caitlin and Kurt talked about food scarcity and insecurity in one of the issues. It might have been Mondays. I didn't realize we throw away more food here in Arizona than any other state in the country. I have no idea why that is, but that's what they said.
I was not aware of that. I do know that this Saturday we have a produce giveaway. In fact, I'm going to be working there. It starts at 5 a.m. in the morning. Unlike other kinds of food programs, there are no qualifications. Anybody can come. It's a drive-up system. Most of the produce comes from Mexico.
Yeah.
It's surplus food. Could be pallets of zucchinis, tomatoes,
and it's a free giveaway?
It's a giveaway. We people line up their cars.
Whoa.
Bill, there are people that are lined up at 3:30 in the morning. Wow. I get there at 4:45 to work the shift, and there's a long line at our northwest location on Ina.
Ina and what?
Ina and Shannon.
Huh.
It's the Christ the King Church.
Christ the King Church.
Yep.
Wow.
So anybody can
glad
come.
Glad I brought that up. I had not heard about that. A
and,
free
you know,
produce
if they,
giveaway.
There's enough food that in this particular kind of giveaway that if they want to pick up food for their neighbors, they can. Wow. You know, there's people who, you know, maybe they don't have the threshold of poverty that would qualify for a regular program, but that doesn't mean that they don't need the food.
Yeah.
And so this produce giveaway, which is once a month, is a great opportunity for people to pick up fresh food. And oftentimes there's also cereal, baked goods as well. So back of a truck, trunk of your car, we'll fill it.
Well, that's why I love doing this radio program. I always learn about things. I had no idea that was going on. So that's coming up this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Okay, a couple of education items. There's a movement at the state legislature. I don't know how deep the movement is to have partisan school board elections. Of course, right now they're nonpartisan.
Right.
I asked former TUSD. He served four terms. Mark Stegeman was my Monday one-on-one guest. He said that would be a horrible idea to make the election. And I just asked Dustin Williams about it, the superintendent of Pima County Schools. He doesn't like the idea, and I assume you're going to make it a threesome.
I'm going to make it a threesome. It's a terrible idea, and it's an idea that's been pushed before, Bill. But let me back up a little bit. Give you kind of a description of what do school boards look like in Arizona. There's 240 school boards throughout the state. Some of them are very, very small. And the membership, depending on the size of the district, can be from a total of three board members, can be five board members, which is sort of the normal course.
Like TUSD.
Okay. And then there is one district in the state of Arizona that has seven board members.
I'm going to guess Mesa?
No.
Phoenix Union.
Okay, Phoenix Union.
All right.
And the other thing that's unique about that situation is all the school boards in Arizona, the members are elected at large. In other words, if you're elected to a school district, you must live in that school district, but when you are elected, you must represent the entire district. It's not one area of the community. It's the entire community. The only exception to that, again, is Phoenix Union, that is actually zoned.
Oh, really?
Yes. So you live in a specific zone and you represent that zone. And part of it is because of the size of the district, although TUSD could really have the same model. But this has been longstanding for a long time. But in any case, they're members at large. And part of that is that, again, they have a responsibility to the entire community, not just one segment of the community. As we've talked about before, board members are not paid. They receive no financial benefits. They're elected for a four-year term, and those elections are staggered. So in other words, you're not replacing the entire board in one election cycle. It's either three seats that are up or two seats that are up. So, and there are no term limits. So, in my opinion, school boards are the last vestige of local control.
Yeah.
It's a great governance system, and I'd like to see it stay that way. And I'm afraid if we start assigning partisan politics to a school board, it's going to change that dramatically.
I hope it doesn't happen. I don't know how much. I think this is from Senator Wozniak. I don't know how much support she
has.
Her
name keeps coming up. She has lots of ideas.
Justine.
And not only does she suggest that board members be affiliated with a political party, but she wants to impose term limits, and she wants to eliminate staggered terms. Eliminating staggered terms, really, you could theoretically have an entirely new Board of Education, you know, if it weren't staggered. It's just not a good idea. I don't like the idea of board members running on a Republican ticket or a Democrat ticket. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that they're serving the community, that they're serving kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sure, they're going to have some political views, but hopefully that's political with a small p, and it doesn't become click it off the ticket. you know, kind of a situation.
All right, we'll pause right here. More on the Buckmaster Show right after we take our break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
All right, welcome back. A lot of content on today's program. Not that I think we always have a lot of content, but it seems like we've got a lot today. We've got Dr. Robert Hendricks with us, our education contributor. The situation with the legislature, we're talking about at least one state senator who would like to see partisan school boards. There's all sorts of really craziness coming out of the legislature. Seemingly they want to get more and more involved, some lawmakers, in the day-to-day operation of schools.
Yeah, Bill, I like the humorous cliche, ready, shoot, aim. I think this is kind of the idea that whatever comes, let's see what can stick against the wall and what we can pass, legislation we can pass.
Well, there's one in particular. What's this one I heard about showering?
Well, at least one legislator and perhaps others are concerned that there's no provision for modesty for children who want to take a shower and are suggesting that that there be a law, that there be some accommodation for children who want to privately take a shower. Now, this kind of emulates from a notion that children, students who take PE, which is a requirement, take showers.
No,
they don't. No. They don't take showers. There's no time for showers. Even if a student wanted to take a shower, there would not be the opportunity to do that. So basically, the notion that maybe in days past that there was 10 minutes left at the end of the period where everybody had to take a shower, that's not happening. So
well,
really what we're talking
about, that's the way it was back in the day. I remember,
it's not anymore.
Yeah, but they don't do that.
So really, the only population we're probably really talking about are athletes. And I think most athletes would probably laugh at you if you said that that was going to be an issue. Now, in my experience as a principal, the nurse's office had a shower. We used that shower oftentimes for students who were having hygiene issues.
Really?
It wasn't a modesty issue. It was a hygiene issue. You gently work with a kid, help them take a shower, launder their clothes, put the clean clothes back on, and let them go on their way, because it was a self-esteem kind of thing.
Okay, I see.
But my experience has never been an issue of modesty. And quite honestly, if a student was too modest, didn't want to take a shower, I don't think they would be required to.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would probably even notice. So it's a ludicrous bill. It really should not go anywhere. I think the original bill was really more about trans students.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion was, and it didn't go anywhere, was that students would be required to show their birth certificate to identify their birth sex.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, they could determine which shower room they were be able to go to. Didn't go anywhere, shouldn't have gone anywhere. And now we've kind of moved that bill, what's being known as the bathroom bill, to the issue of showering. And so I really think we're spending a lot of extra time on a piece of legislation that shouldn't go anywhere.
We're speaking with Dr. Robert Hendricks, this portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive from Tucson, and not a bad drive at all, actually. You can find out more, and I hope you will go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All sorts of outdoor activities and some great indoor activities like Western New Mexico University. They've got a beautiful museum there. They've redone the museum, and they've got the finest collection of Mimbrace pottery in the world over there. So it's a great getaway, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Did you want to talk a little bit about the universal vouchers situation?
I do, but before we do that, Bill, okay. I'd like to talk a little bit about one more thing, and that is, you know, our schools receive a letter grade for performance.
Yes.
Another idea that a legislator had was let's look at the disciplinary policies of the school. And if we don't believe that the school is rigorous enough in disciplining students, we should lower that grade, that letter grade of the student, by one letter.
Wow.
Now, we're not really sure. I say we, educators, are sort of confused as to what disciplinary practices they should be. Accordingly, this legislation would suggest that ADE, the Arizona Department of Education, receive a report from each school as to the number of disciplinary infractions they're dealing with students and how they are dealing with them. And so there would be some kind of a log or report given to ADE. And if, in fact, those disciplinary actions were not acted upon by at least 75% of those that were written up, the letter grade drops. No one seems to know how logistically this would work and, you know, what is an infraction. And of course, it's up to the schools to report these infractions and what they did with them. So
more bureaucracy,
bureaucracy, and no understanding of really how it would work. But it's another idea that we're throwing against the wall, and you know, somebody thinks it's great.
$1 billion, the universal voucher program, costing Arizona?
It is. It is. And we don't have the money to pay for it. And we walked right into this dilemma. And the governor is saying, what are we going to do about this? We've got 73,000 students that are now attending private and parochial schools. We've got another 35,000 that are homeschooled, and we're paying approximately $7,300 per pupil to credit their tuition, or in the case of homeschooling, provide an allowance. The governor is saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got to put some provisions on this. And so she's introduced some ideas that, for example, she thinks that public schools that we expect certain things of should also be expected of private, parochial, and homeschoolers. And that is, there should be, where there's a teaching staff, there should be background checks. There should be fingerprinting of all employees. That is not a requirement for private schools or parochial schools.
I did not know that.
Only public schools.
Wow.
Also, there should be minimum requirements, certification requirements for teachers. That is not required for private and parochial schools. And so the governor is saying, if these schools are going to accept voucher money, that it ought to be a level and equal playing field, and that those requirements should be held. And actually, Ken Bennett,
Senator Bennett,
from the state senate, is agreeing with the governor on some of this. Yes, there should be fingerprinting. Yes, there should be a qualified individual in every classroom. And so those are issues that the governor is pushing, and of course there's some pushback. The other thing that the governor is questioning is what she's calling price gouging, that the tuition for private schools has increased significantly since the voucher program was introduced, and up to 20% of some private school tuition has increased. And she wants to put a cap on how much a school can increase their tuition during a given year.
All right. Going to have to leave it there, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Always a pleasure. Thank you very
much. Always lots to talk about.
We always learn a lot when you're on our program. Thank you very much. All right, that will do it today, the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. We do our telephone interviews. That's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.